I'm really excited to talk to you all today a little bit about community food security and what that is, what are some things we got in the last Farm Bill, and what this looks like moving forward. And so I'll start with the I don't have any financial relationships to disclose line. But as Nancy mentioned when she was giving a brief introduction, I did just switch jobs about 2 months ago. Actually, I'm in week six of my new job with the Pew Charitable Trust, and I'm not really working on this there. So I'm speaking right now from, you know, the perspective of Megan Watt, ex-Associate Policy Director of the Community Food Security Coalition. But I left on good terms, so don't worry. Nothing influencing that way. So what is community food security? A lot of people are familiar with the concept of individual food security, of whether or not you know where your next meal is coming from. Community food security is looking at this from a bigger community perspective of ensuring that all people, regardless of socioeconomic status, race, et cetera, have access to quality, affordable, healthy, and culturally appropriate food at all times. So it's really looking at what are the foods that are available in your community. Do you have relationships with local farmers that are sourcing restaurants, schools, hospitals, farmers markets? Are you in a situation where if there was an emergency, you can be self-sustaining? Or, like most given cities and towns, do you only have a three-day food supply on hand in your local grocery store without a lot of planning and tools in place to help you should that become an issue? So since we're talking about the Farm Bill, looking at the Farm Bill and community food security, the Farm Bill has historically not been that supportive of community food security. There are important programs in the Farm Bill. The SNAP program does a lot around increasing buying power of households and helping low-income people have additional money to purchase fruits and vegetables and healthy food items. But, you know, when you're looking at, there's nothing in there that says this should be spent locally, this should be spent on this type of product. Similarly, commodity programs do not historically support local. The big commodities, you know, wheat, cotton, soy, corn, they're all very large crops that are produced and shipped all over the country and travel far distances to get into and go through lots of processing in a lot of cases to get into the products you see in the grocery store shelves. There is some local food system funding there, but it's very limited. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what came out of the 2008 Farm Bill and sort of the current state of things. Community food security really wasn't part of the Farm Bill in an official way until 1996, when the community food projects were created. And oddly enough, community food projects were created not really about food so much as about community economic development. The idea kind of spurred after the Rodney King riots in LA, and there were a lot of issues the city was dealing with, and, you know, riots, job loss, homelessness, a lot of things happening, and when they kept going back to ways to affect these different other problems in a positive way, food always was coming up, and so community food projects were really born out of this idea of how do we get more jobs locally, how do we keep money in our local economies, how do we really build the community together. And so it was created in the 96 Farm Bill with about $2.5 million per year, and now currently receives $5 million per year in mandatory funding. So the way it is structured now, it is part of that Farm Bill baseline we're talking about, but like all programs in this current budget situation, it's definitely at risk for being cut as we move forward. So some examples of what community food projects have been used to fund in the past: farmers markets, farm-to-school programs, small business development, community kitchens, job training around food issues, food system issues, community food assessments. So this is a very small but important pot of money when it comes to looking at things like urban gardens, urban farming, farm-to-school programs, other things that are out there that are really looking at the community food system. So another thing, with community food security, you know, there's definitely some opportunity within the SNAP program, I think, to SNAP education and SNAP outreach to really use those to help through things like doing those types of programs at farmers market to help bridge the gap between individual food security and community food security, and using those the farmers markets as a place to do outreach to SNAP eligible populations, to do nutrition education. And there are some other programs specifically in there around farmers markets. USDA does have a history of promoting farmers markets through programs like the Farmers Market Promotion Program, which has in recent years been used to help equip farmers markets with wireless technology to be able to accept SNAP benefits, which is really exciting. Another program, there's the Farmers Market Nutrition Program for WIC and seniors. The senior program is actually within the Farm Bill, and basically what that program is, for those of you who are not familiar, because it's not actually available in all 50 states, is there are vouchers that are given to eligible individuals during market season, and they range anywhere from $1 to $10 that they can then go and take and purchase fruits and vegetables. So that is another exciting opportunity there. Local purchasing and farm to school. In the last Farm Bill, we were able to do something that didn't cost any money but was really significant in terms of reducing barriers. We were able to get something a lot called geographic preference. And so what that was prior to the last Farm Bill, if you were a school in the state of New York, for example, purchasing apples, you couldn't say that you wanted a New York apple specifically in your bid process. All schools, for the majority of purchases they make, have to go through a competitive bid process where they put out specifications for products they want, and they have to take at minimum 3 bids from different suppliers locally. And whoever gives them the lowest bid, they're required to go with. So if you can imagine how, you know, they're depending on the local growing season, a number of other factors, including the quantity you're ordering, it might be more expensive to get local. There are lots of examples where it's not, but there are certainly plenty of examples where it is also. And we are not being able to say, I want to give priority to that New York apple, could make it impossible for you to do local purchasing. So this is something that USDA has recently put out guidance on that does officially give schools the ability to award extra points in that bidding process to local products, which is really exciting. And then since the Farm Bill, I want to mention this because I think it's really important, in the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act of 2010, we were able to get the creation of a farm school grant program. So this is, I think, really exciting because it is a new program at a time when it's hard to get new programs, that puts $5 million per year beginning in October 1st, 2012. It's for fiscal year 2013. It's a competitive grant program that will be available for schools and other nonprofits, farm groups, institutions that want to work together to make farm school programs happen in their local community. I think the fact that we were able to get this program created at a time when there aren't a lot of new programs being created is really a testament that this is something people are recognizing is a successful program, and that there's a lot of support behind, regardless of whether you're from an urban or rural district. This was one issue in particular where we felt like it really created that urban-rural linkage. And it had a lot of benefits in terms of health benefits for the kids, but also the economic benefits of keeping the money in the local economies, local communities, and helping with some job creation in some places. So healthy food access, as I mentioned, is a really big piece of being able to eat that healthy food, having access to it. In 2008, one important point that came that was part of the Farm Bill was USDA was instructed to do a food desert study. And this was just a small pot of money, one-time funding for this study that came out, I believe, in the winter of 2009. I don't remember exactly now. It was a while ago. And this was definitely something that helped lead to the food desert locator tool that Dr. Wojcicki showed us in the Food Environment Atlas, which I think are both really great tools. to have out there. Another thing that was created in the last Farm Bill was the Healthy Urban Food Enterprise Development Center, which has $3 million over 3 years. It was really established as a competitive grant program for producers, small businesses, and nonprofits to apply for outreach, technical assistance, and feasibility study grants to support the development of enterprises which distribute and market local foods. So this, you know, is something that's available for urban, rural, and tribal communities. There, the money was for training and technical assistance was subgranted to a group called the Wallace Center. So there's more information there if you're interested. And that is another program, unfortunately, that has some targets on it for the Farm Bill reauthorization now. I think, you know, just a few other things to mention in terms of healthy food access is that since the Farm Bill in 2009, with the Obama administration coming into office, one of the first things they did was make a public announcement that they were setting a goal to eliminate food deserts within 7 years. It's a pretty ambitious goal considering we're 3 years just about into the presidency and there's still a lot left to do. But again, because of that, access to healthy foods has really been elevated in the media and elevated in a lot of initiatives you see, like the First Lady's Let's Move initiative. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with the Healthy Food Financing Initiative, which helps, if there's a proposal out there to create a national program modeled after the Philadelphia Fresh Food Financing Initiative, where it leverages public-private money to help create new healthy outlets for food in underserved communities. And that outlet could be a full-service grocery store, it could be retrofitting an existing store, a corner store, it could be establishing a farmer's market in a community. So that has yet to happen nationally, but that has been a lot of focus of different conversations happening at the national level. And then one other thing I want to point out that's not on this slide, since our colleague from the Senate Ag Committee wasn't able to join us today, is that another program that was part of that Farm Bill is the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Snack Program, which is a pot of money that goes to the state and is for high-need schools to be able to serve a fresh fruit and vegetable snack outside of the school meal time for kids. And this has been a really great program. I believe currently 4 million kids have access to this program every day. And there's currently undergoing, an evaluation, the word escaped me, to really get a better sense of the impact this program is having, because it really is a great exposure tool for getting kids to try new fruits and vegetables that they might never have seen before. Local food systems, that's a big part of the community food security piece and really important for reviving local economies. In the last Farm Bill, the Rural Business and Industry Loan Program, which is in rural development, we were able to get a 10% set aside for local food projects to help develop things that are really needed, like local slaughterhouses, canneries, storage, infrastructure, distribution that is really lacking. And so that was certainly something that was really useful. I think this is an area where there's certainly a lot of opportunity for additional investment. It's unlikely that that's probably going to happen right now, but I will say that there are some exciting things happening. And just today, Senator Sherrod Brown in the Senate introduced a bill called the Local Farms, Food, and Jobs Act, which is really all about looking at the local food system and looking at places and within the existing titles of the Farm Bill where local food systems and community food security can be better supported. So there are plans also to be introduced today for Congresswoman Shelley Pingree from Maine to be introducing a House version of that bill. So that is something that I worked on a little bit in my past job, but not at my current job. So exciting to be introduced. And another program I think that's really important around local food systems that is often talked about a little less is the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program. So specialty crops, does everybody know what specialty crops are? No, okay. So ironically, specialty crafts are mostly what we eat. They're fresh fruits and vegetables, nuts, cut flowers. I don't think I'm missing anything. But the majority of fresh fruits and vegetables that are grown for consumption fall into the specialty crop category. So there is a program called the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program. It's a pot of federal money that is distributed to the states, and then the states do their own granting within the state to distribute that money. And within each state, they can set their own priorities for how that money is spent. There are some national priorities, but really the states have a lot of autonomy in deciding that. And there have been a lot of very creative uses around specialty crop block grant funds at the state level, again, from supporting farmers markets to supporting farm to school to supporting farmers market incentive programs. Like people are familiar with Double Up Food Bucks or some of the incentive programs where you go to a farmer's market and spend $5 of your money, you get $5, quote unquote, free back to spend. So you have a total purchasing power of $10 there. So there are a lot of really creative uses for that program as well. So moving forward, I mentioned the bills that are being introduced today, but really thinking about opportunities to support community food security, it's pretty clear it's a challenging economic time and that nobody really knows what's happening, including, I would say, the majority of members on Capitol Hill sitting up there right now. A lot of these budget negotiations are happening in very small groups behind very closed doors. One thing I will say, just following up on what Nancy was mentioning earlier, is with the Ag Committee having $23 billion that they are putting together to cut from Ag Committee programs and the Farm Bill in particular, none of us know where that money is going to come from. There have been some rumors and speculations that a big chunk will come from them doing some reform to commodities. Some doing to the cutting conservation and some to cutting nutrition programs. We don't really know how that's going to play out. And so I would just say one thing that I think is especially important as we move forward with all this uncertainty is going back to something Dr. Wojcicki said earlier about looking at linking food systems to human health outcomes. I think as public health professionals, that's one area where we could all contribute to this conversation in a very large way, because the reality is it doesn't matter if we even have the data to say that this type of food is healthier than that type of food. It's really about linking it to these bigger human health outcomes and not just personal health outcomes and public health outcomes, but looking at environmental health outcomes and a number of other things and being really creative to show that what we all, I think, inherently know to be true really is true, that the food system doesn't operate in a silo and it really is connected to all of these other bigger issues that are at play there. And I had just listed some other opportunities to be involved at the local level, including working with your local food policy council and looking at policy at the state and local levels, because that's really another option at this time when we're probably facing cuts at the federal level.